this morning. We are stepping out of Romans for today in preparation for Thanksgiving. We are in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this short but very powerful passage this morning, Lord, and we thank you that we can come here and give you thanks, the one who gives us everything. Please move with Pastor Craig this morning as he delivers your message. Let it penetrate our hearts and minds. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Nick. Just so you know, I built the PowerPoint this morning. And while we had trials with it, we can count our blessings that we actually have a PowerPoint, okay? We are departing from Romans just for this week and look at a theme. You know, oftentimes, or I shouldn't say oftentimes, sometimes the theme passages or theme messages that I do throughout the year are difficult. Christmas in particular, some years it's difficult. All right, how are we going to look at this a different way this year? But Thanksgiving is always one that I look forward to, and it's always one that seems to be a natural from Scripture. Okay, to look at this topic of giving thanks. And we're starting off in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We are going to be bouncing around a little bit in a few different passages, but this is where we're going to start. It says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Again, we're going to bounce around, but this really sets up our topic this morning. So just to get us started, there is a given in this verse. To who does all thanks and praise belong? This is the given.
God.
Okay, very good. In what should we give thanks? In everything. In everything give thanks. And why should we thank God in everything? This is His will. This is His will for us. Absolutely. So my question is, why don't we? Why don't we thank God in everything? And that is a question that I want to look at this morning. Many years ago, the story is told of a devout king who was very disturbed by his court, and in particular, their ingratitude toward God. He had noticed this as a reoccurring theme. So one day he prepared a large banquet for them. And when the king and his royal guests were seated by prearrangement, a beggar shuffled into the hall, sat down at the king's table, quickly gorged himself with a bunch of food, and without saying a word, got up and left. And this is in front of everybody, and everybody's looking at this, and they were infuriated. They couldn't believe what they had just saw, and they asked the king, we need to stop him. We need to stop him and give him his just dues here. And the king replied to them. He said, that beggar has done only once to an earthly king what each of you does all the time to God. You sit there, you receive the blessings, and you don't say a word. You never recognize what God has given you or expressed a word of thanks to Him for it. It has been said that blessed is he who expects no gratitude, for he shall not be disappointed. But that should never be the case with God. That should never be the case with God. God does not need our gratitude. He doesn't need us. But for that very reason, we as his creation, as his children, should be all the more ready, willing, and desirous to express our thanks to him for all that he does. And before we're done here this morning, Lord willing, if we have time here at the end, I want to give you an opportunity just quickly share with us and express to God something that you're thankful for. Perhaps it's happened in the past year. Perhaps it's been real recent. Perhaps it's something that happened a long time ago. But just very briefly, so we have time for a number of you to share. But just be thinking about that as we go through these things this morning. But know that opportunity, Lord willing, is coming. And this morning, we are actually going to look at three reasons why a believer might fail to thank God. All right, we're going to look at Thanksgiving hindrances. And the first one is very much the root of the problem. In fact, it is so much the root of the problem that it actually caused one who personally knew God, who personally knew beyond a doubt the power and sovereignty of God, to rebel against him anyway. And I'm talking about Lucifer, Satan, the devil, and I'm talking about pride. I'm talking about pride because pride is very much the core of sin in our life, okay? Pride. Lucifer was the greatest of God's created angelic beings. But instead of being thankful to God for that, in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 13 and 14, we read this. And you don't have to turn there. I'll just read this one to you. It says, Lucifer said in his heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the furthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Pride, perhaps, is the ugliest hindrance to giving thanks. Webster's dictionary says pride is an unreasonable conceit of one's own superiority in talents, beauty, wealth, accomplishments, or rank. Pride is an unreasonable conceit of one's own superior view of himself. And what it does, first of all, pride focuses on our attributes. Pride focuses on our attributes. Lucifer knew that he was the most beautiful, the most powerful, the most musical of God's angels. Yet instead of thanking God for gifting him with those things, he took credit for it. It's like the 6-year-old kid whose grandma told him, oh, you are getting so big. And he says, yeah, God made me little. I grew the rest of the way myself. So does that mean that Tom did a better job at growing than I did? You know, we have to understand, as Psalm 100, verse 3 says, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. All that we are and have are gifts from God. Pride, however, focuses on our attributes as if they are all of us. Pride focuses on our desires. Lucifer said he would exalt his throne above the stars of God. Through the attributes that Lucifer had been given by God, He wanted to be more powerful than God, with more authority than God. And he thought he could. He thought, I can do this. He believed he could. He wanted to rule the universe. Pride focuses on our desires. Pride focuses on recognition. Lucifer said, I will sit on the Mount of Congregation. I will be like the Most High. Lucifer wanted the recognition that only belonged to God. He wanted the congregation of creation to look at him as supreme, to look and admire his power. Look and see what I have done. He wanted to be like God, and he wanted everyone to know it. The problem is, everything that Lucifer had that made him as powerful as he was and as beautiful as he was a gift from God. It was a gift from God, yet he took credit for it. Pride. Pride. The best thing that we can do with pride is swallow it. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. In fact, in James chapter 4, verses 8 and 10, it says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Thank God for the gifts that he has given us. In pride, there is no reason to thank God because we think we've done something. If we fail to give thanks to God, it's possible that it's because we're being prideful. The next reason one might fail to give thanks to God is pain. Pain might be a reason that we fail to give thanks. I heard a story several months ago. Actually, some of you were there and you heard the story the same time I did. But it's about a very bitter man who had lost his son, and he was very angry with God about his son's death. In fact, he blamed God for his son's death. In fact, any time someone tried to talk to him about God, because of his anger, he would tear into them with unbridled wrath. But he was observed one day on the street as he encountered an evangelist proclaiming the greatness of God and his salvation, to which he saw as an opportunity. And this bitter man went up to him and he shouted at him. He says, if God is so great, then why is my son dead? And the evangelist, without even thinking about it, immediately responded. He says, that's none of your business. Now get on your knees and make peace with God. And it hit him so hard that he did. He did. He dropped to his knees right there and then and re-recognized the authority of God. God is God. God is God. He found peace. God is God, and he knows best. And while God may allow pain to happen in our life, we need to understand that pain is not God's fault. Pain is not God's fault. Pain is sin's fault, and God is the remedy. He is our supply through pain. Therefore, when we are in pain, whether it be physical pain, emotional pain, spiritual pain, or maybe even financial pain, we can still give thanks to God even in the midst of that. Turn to Philippians chapter 4, two books back in your Bible. Philippians chapter 4, and listen to verses 4 through 7. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Well-known passage of Scripture here. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This doesn't mean thanking God for the pain, but rather thanking God in the pain. Verse 6 says in everything, not for everything. Pain is not God's fault. God is the remedy. In fact, back to our original passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he says there, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. In everything, we can thank God for His strength, for His healing, for His provision, His comfort, even in the midst of a very painful and trying situation. Still in Philippians 4, look at verses 11 through 13. He says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere, in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We are to be thankful all of the time, not just when we're happy. We need to understand some things. First of all, we already noted that the pain is not God's fault. Pain is not God's fault. But secondly, pain is not always bad for us. Pain is not always bad for us. Sin is, and pain is oftentimes the result of sin. But pain itself, God can use it. And it's not always bad for us. Pain actually increases our sensitivity to the root of a problem. You will not find a better model of correct lifting procedure than a person who is suffering back pain. If you want to know how to lift something right, you watch someone that has chronic back pain, and they will do it perfectly. You will not see a person budget their money better than one who has almost none of it. You will not see a more sensitive person to the emotional needs of another than one who has gone through the same ordeal. In fact, one of my favorite passages concerning this, and you don't have to turn there, I'll just read it to you, but it's from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation. And he goes on to say, why? That we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Pain is not always a bad thing for us, okay? Pain can be a reason to thank God, not hinder our thanksgiving. Pain enables us to help others go through the same sorts of things that we have gone through. Pain is not always bad for us. And then pain does not mean that God doesn't care. Pain does not mean that God doesn't care. In fact, it is just the opposite. Sometimes God allows pain to happen in our life because He knows that it will cause us to grow in our relationship with Him. It'll cause us to grow spiritually. Pain and trials can even be looked at as a compliment. Okay, for God would never allow us to go through something that we cannot bear with His help, and pain and trials allowed in our life can be a sign that God is desiring to graduate us, to move us on to a new level of spiritual maturity. He desires us to grow in our relationship with Him. In 2 Corinthians 1:7, he says, and our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation. Pain does not mean that God doesn't care. It means that He does care. So much so that He wants us to grow. He wants us to rely on Him. And He will provide through it. Even pain can be used for our good and God's glory. If we are experiencing pain in our life, I think naturally our old sinful nature wants to point the blame. It wants to be angry with God. Sometimes the last thing that we want to do is give thanks in the midst of that. But pain is a greater reason to give thanks than it is to hinder it. Because God knows best, and He will never give us more than we can bear with His help. We can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. I found this quote, and I actually used it a couple Wednesday nights ago in our Bible study, but it fit well here too. It says, "Our faith has not really been tested until God asks us to bear something that seems unbearable, to do something that seems unreasonable, and to expect something that seems impossible." Because it's all up to God. It's not up to us. Don't let pain hinder our giving thanks to God. Pride can be a hindrance. Pain can be a hindrance. And the last reason is presumption. Basically, taking God for granted. Presumption. This might be the most common hindrance to giving thanks. We just assume that certain things will always be there for us to enjoy. And we give little conscious thought to God, the giver, nor all that He has given. I think moms might help us relate to this. While they are a very distant second to God, okay, in the area of being taken for granted, being a mom is probably far and away one of the most noble and critical jobs on the planet. Yet it is also one of the most unappreciated jobs. I mean, people don't show enough appreciation for moms. I mean, how many diapers does the average mom actually change? Right? How many boo-boos has the average mom kissed better? How many meals does the average mom cook? How many toilets does the average mom clean? I mean, can you imagine just how different a place this world would be if they just didn't do the diapers and the toilets, okay? It would be an entirely different place. Yet, when was the last time we told our moms, our wives, thank you? Thanks, Janine. She's in the other room. And I heard a few others whispered in the room, okay? Well, this kind of presumption is exponential with God. Oh, how we take Him for granted. The little things that He does for us, the big things that He does for us, and we don't even give it a thought. We must be thankful not only for God's gifts to us, as we talked about earlier, but for God Himself. Turn to Psalm 92, Old Testament book, right after Job, right before Proverbs. Psalm 92. And I just want to read to you the first four verses of this psalm. Psalm 92, verses 1 through 4. It says, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. on an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute and on the harp, with harmonious sound. For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands. Why would we take God for granted? Well, I think a couple reasons. Sometimes I think we presume upon his disposition. We presume upon his disposition. When was the last time we gave thanks for the attributes of God? We talked earlier about thanking God for our attributes, but when was the last time we thank God for his attributes? Lord, thank you that you are everywhere present, because I know that means you are right here with me right now. Lord, thank you for being all-knowing, because I know that you know what I am going through right now, and you know how it's going to end. Lord, thank you for being all-powerful, because I am not, and I need you right now. Lord, thank you for being truth, so I can always trust you. Thank you for being holy and perfect. Thank you for never changing. Thank you for your justice, your goodness to me, and your wisdom for me. Sometimes we take those things for granted and forget that these are things that we can and should be very, very thankful for. The attributes of God. In particular, as we compare God to our previous masters, we've been looking in Romans, okay? We presume upon God's disposition. Secondly, we presume upon God's provision. Oh, the things that he provides that we take for granted. Did you know that the sun that wakes you up every single morning is the only perfect sun, the only perfect star that scientists had ever been able to locate? And what I mean by perfect is scientists, a couple reasons here, but scientists have been looking for that other solar system out there with planets with plants, okay, you got it? They call it the Goldilocks zone, not too hot, not too cold, but just right. And they've been looking for these solar systems. And even those that they think that they have found that might possibly contain planets, with not that they found them, okay, that are in that right range, but they might possibly have a planet. I'm talking about our sun. The star in that solar system is not stable. And if there is a plant that is in that Goldilocks zone, the star is so unstable, it shoots out flares that would barbecue anything within that range. Our sun is the only sun that is this stable. And we live on a planet that is just the right distance from it, that is tipped on an axis that is just right to give us the seasons for plant growth, with a moon that is just the right distance to create tides. Did you know that if it wasn't for the tides, our oceans would go stale? Okay? There wouldn't be any... And so here's something else the environmentalists don't want you to know. Over two-thirds of our oxygen, actually, it doesn't come from the forest. It comes from the ocean. And the moon creating the tides and agitating the ocean is what gives us our air that we breathe and sustains life. It is the only planet that has a bubble around it, an atmosphere that contains all of these chemicals that sustains our life. They say 99% of the universe is made up of hydrogen and helium, but the Earth is different. It's made of heavier elements such as carbon and calcium, which can form compounds essential for life, such as proteins and sugars. We are so unique here, and we take for granted the air that we are breathing. We take for granted the warmth from the sun that doesn't cook us. Unless you're on your honeymoon, you go to Miami and stay out in the sun. Anyway, you know what I mean, though, okay? Listen to Isaiah 45:18. For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord and there is no other. And that is just one area in which God provides for us. Colossians chapter 1 talks about God sustaining all of these things. He says, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Everything works because of God. I, for one, am thankful that my stomach hurts when I'm hungry, because if it didn't, I might accidentally starve myself to death. I'm thankful for nerve endings that tell me when something is hot. And reflexes, I don't even have to think about that. The reflex just pulls my hand away. I'm thankful for water. We could spend hours just talking about the miraculous properties of water. I'm thankful for food, for clothing, for shelter, for friends, for Jesus. Sometimes we even presume upon God's salvation. Remember the day you were saved from sin's penalty. Remember the day you realized that there was even a penalty for sin and how great that penalty was. But then the even more incredible price that God paid through his Son for you. Remember how you felt when you first trusted Christ and received that forgiveness, that cleansing of sin in our life. Remember how thankful and joyous and the burden that was lifted. It's okay to relive that. It's okay to remember that. Never take that for granted. I think that is why Jesus ordained the Lord's Supper, communion, that we might remember that day. Don't presume upon God's salvation. Don't presume upon his disposition, his provision, or his salvation from sin, but be thankful. Recognize that pride, pain, and presumption can be some of the greatest things that keep us from properly, consistently, and rightfully giving thanks to God. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. It's speaking to God, verbalizing. Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Thanksgiving to God, it is the right and reasonable thing to do. Thanksgiving to God is an expression of our love in return to him. And thanksgiving to God is what draws others to him. So in closing, I'm going to give you just a few minutes. Maybe you've been thinking about this through the sermon here this morning, but just to briefly share with us something that you are thankful for. Anyone like that this morning? Connie?
Freedom to worship.
Okay, yeah.
Worship at all.
Absolutely. Freedom to worship. Jeff?
Other than salvation, I can't imagine going through everything that I've gone through in my life without my partner.
Okay. That's making up for not thanking her for the diapers. No, very good. Absolutely. Thank you, Jeff. Someone else? Yeah, the job. You know, sometimes that's an excellent one, in particular about, well, I won't get into the current events, okay? But instead of being thankful for God providing a means to earn some money, they think they have rights. They think they have rights. It's a privilege. It's a gift. It's a gift. Other things. Ron. Very good. Salvation of children. Very good. Edie.
So many things, but I'm so grateful that God allowed me to live and that He gave Jerry to support me.
Right, right. And I'll just tell you, you are such a neat couple to watch. Anyway, wonderful. Sergio.
CMR.
Cedar Mountain Retreat. Okay. That would be on, I think, a lot of young people's list. Tom.
His merciful love that pursued me while I was yet a sinner, died for me, gave me life.
Right. And so many events that took place in our life that he even allowed to bring us to that place. Absolutely. So I don't know what, Kay. His healing power. Yeah, absolutely. Physical healing. Spiritual healing, emotional healing, mental healing. Very good. Diane. Okay. Okay. Yep. Mommies and daddies, even in the second half of our life, right? Jim. Okay. Christian wife. Absolutely. Anthony.
Both my mother and my wife. And then also where I'm working now. This is the first job that I've had. Well, second job, but the first one that actually means something to me where I've been surrounded by believers.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, you see, it's okay that Cindy heard that, because as we give thanks, that ministers to all of us here. It ministers to all of us. Anyone else? Carolyn.
I want to give thanks for this week. Every morning I get up and I look out to the mountains, and I find the power of the Lord jumping down on us.
Okay. Okay. Very good. Thank you, Carolyn. Joan. Right, right. Very good. Thank you, Joan. Yes, over here.
Yes, a lot of people have been praying for the Lord to help heal us. Today I'd just like to thank the Lord for
it. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, right.
I'm thankful the Lord led me to the church.
Thank you for that. And yeah, I don't have any problem with asking you personally too. So please do pray for me. Thank you. Roberta.
Along with that, praise for our church family. Yeah. Being away from our family back in Wisconsin, our church is always
there. Yeah. Next to salvation, that was one that stood out to me, is the Lord's leading me here and just being with you. Just bang. Blows my mind. Bob.
The reason I moved to Mesquite was I had some major family problems with my mom. And it was extremely painful. And still it is, really. But after my move, I found that I absolutely
Thank you, Bob. Any more? Jackie.
One last thing. I just thank God on a regular basis.
Yeah.
For a call.
Absolutely.
Very grateful.
Yeah. Thank you. All right. Let's go ahead and close our morning with a prayer of thanksgiving. Father in heaven, we are just thankful for the way that you have gifted each one of us. Lord, you have crafted us very, very special. You've crafted us so that you could use us. And Lord, we thank you for that this morning. And I pray that as we go about our days, our weeks, our years, Lord God, that you are our focus and our being used of you is our focus. And Lord, protect us. Protect us, I pray, from pride, not if, but when it rears its ugly head. And Lord, just help us to refocus upon you. We do thank you, Lord, for the trials that you allow us to go through in our life. And there have been a number of people this morning that have shared thanks concerning those trials, Lord. And I just thank you for the comfort that you supply in the midst of them. And Lord, the strength that you supply. And Lord, just the marvelous act of growth that we have as a result of these trials, that we might come through them out the other end glorifying you. And Lord, I pray that pain would never be something that we allow to hinder our giving thanks. But Lord, it might be an eye-opening experience for us that we would give thanks to you. And Lord, I pray that we would never presume upon you. That we would look around us and even these seemingly minute things that you give us in our life, I pray that we would take the time to lift them up to you and give thanks for them. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for being with us, for providing for us, for your love, for your mercy, for your grace. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.